Hey, how do you innovate? Hey, how do you activate your data to create those real-time cross-channel experiences that really drive ROI? Hey, Moment Maker, let's get real in real time.
Welcome back, everyone. You're listening to the Marketing Cloudcast. It's a podcast by Salesforce where we hear from digital marketers, authors, thought leaders, industry experts, and really anyone who will sit down and talk marketing with us. My name is Megan Collins, also known as Megan Hostetler now. Woo. And I'm here in Indianapolis where it's hot and humid. And I have my good friend and co-host Tina Razul, who is based in Sydney, Australia. And Tina, I just heard that you guys are going to go back to the office here in August. Is that true?
It is. So exciting times here down under in Australia. We are planning on reopening sometime in August. And what's really fun is we're using work.com, which is a new solution and a suite of different applications that can help businesses reopen. So for those who are in need of resources or guides to help them navigate, what does that even look like in the various phases to help your business grow? You can check out work.com. It's run by Salesforce. So lots of positive moments happening here down under. And in today's episode, we are continuing the discussion of marketing moments in this new series. And we are going to unpack in the next phase of understanding what does it actually take to create these magical marketing moments. In our first episode, we talked to Antonio Succio, who mentioned data and trust are really key to ensuring we're creating those successful marketing moments.
Exactly. And, you know, it's easier said than done, right? It's a pretty complex world. And so what we are doing in this series is helping to answer maybe those burning questions that you may have about creating these moments. So to do that, today we brought in Elise Bluen. She's a senior director of digital marketing at Lowe's. She's going to give us an inside perspective of her day-to-day and what data means to her. And with great data comes great responsibility. So later on, we'll hear from data security experts Saikat Saha and Miku Consolis to help us understand the importance of protecting the data that we as marketers have access to. So with that, it's my pleasure to introduce to you Elise Bluen. A little bit more about Elise. She has an interesting role. It's focused on the development and the guidance of world-class digital marketing programs. So think everything from paid and organic search to social media, email campaigns, display, digital campaigns, or even affiliate marketing. She's a jack of all trades and also a very extensive proven track record of leveraging data, all while creating operational simplicity, which is really why I wanted to bring her on the show. It's a hot commodity right now, especially for marketers that are wearing a lot of different hats. With that, here is Elise. As you have these different channels that each have unique problems that they each have, are there any procedures in place to help ensure that you are creating those moments that are resonating with your customers, as a lot of these channels could easily fall into that kind of creepy, spammy type of scenario?
Yeah, you know, I think it's all about using the right customer signals and ultimately offering the most utility to customers. You know, I think it could be perceived as a little creepy that we're leveraging customer data signals in order to target customers. But as long as you're offering the customer something that's useful to them or relevant to them in a way that, you know, helps them with a problem, then I think that that's really what we're trying to deliver as marketers. And so, you know, as an example, I think at Lowe's, we deal with home improvement. So if a customer, for example, just purchased and installed a deck, then we know that they have beautified their outdoor space. And we know that they may now be in the market for patio furniture or plants or a decor to build out and enjoy the new deck. And so by understanding a customer's purchasing consumption patterns, we can really play a role in predicting, you know, what they may need next, whether it's, you know, a different product or how-to information or, you know, just help with the next step in order to drive a relationship with that customer and potentially create a relationship that would create more lifetime value for both the organization and the customer.
Sure. Yeah. And you had mentioned if you're a shopper who just bought supplies for a deck or things like that, thinking of ways that you can better target them and send them relevant information based on maybe what their past purchases are. And are there any other kind of things that you are pulling in or data sources that you're pulling in to help understand what are those things that best go as a recommended item or a next step for whatever purchase they had?
Yeah, you know, I think that there's a couple ways. The first is you can look at past behavior of a customer and patterns of individuals who have made a similar purchase previously and looking at what did they purchase next or what type of content did they engage with next. And an example of that where we've developed a really unique partnership, I think, is with Pinterest. So we're able to look at on Pinterest, what are the different pins that customers engage with prior to making a purchase, and then how do we identify those patterns moving forward so that we can predict when a customer may be likely to be in the market for something, and then we can, you know, tailor the content that we're presenting in the pin content that's most relevant to that customer and their journey. And then I think the interesting thing about digital marketing in general is that we just sit on a wealth of customer behavior data. So if you think about leveraging Google search data or Google Trends or trends in terms of what you're seeing the velocity of the conversation do on Twitter or what people are looking for and saving on Pinterest, you know, there's some really strong customer insights within each of those platforms that you can use to be able to inform not just your marketing plan and what you want to talk about, because you're able to, you know, dissect customer trends and what's emerging and what may not be as popular anymore, but you can also inform, you know, other areas of the organization on things like assortment planning in retail or, you know, product generation, leveraging that data. And I think that that's something that's a really unique asset within the digital marketing space.
I see. So like you're ensuring that your shelves are stocked with what is needed most at the time.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Wow.
You know, and
a lot of data there.
Yeah. And what's interesting is that's never been more relevant than, you know, in the last couple of months, I think as a marketer, it's been so important to understand what customers are looking for in a time that's been, you know, so unique with COVID and, you know, with everything that's happening in the macro environment right now.
Yeah, that's super interesting, because what you're saying is you're looking at the digital world. You're a digital marketing manager or senior director. I want to give you the credit. But what you're doing influences the in-store, the physical too.
Yeah, that's right.
Wow. And then on top of that, you have all of these regulations like GDPR, CCPA.
Yeah.
What helps you to stay within these guidelines, within these rules, but also have creativity, innovation, and meet these shoppers where they are?
Yeah, you know, I think it's important, obviously, to study the regulations and really understand what's being asked of you as an organization to make sure that you're protecting the data and protecting your customers' right to their privacy. You know, but I think even within the current space, there's enough first-party data that we can leverage and, you know, third-party data that we can still use that's able to indicate, you know, where customers are spending time online and what their preferences are that we can leverage for targeting across the board, as well as, you know, new and unique different data sets like mobile device information. So understanding customers' location patterns and areas that they frequent, whether it's, you know, your stores or a competitor's store or, you know, where they're spending their time is able to give us, you know, really unique data signals that we can leverage in marketing.
That's really interesting. I didn't think about that every day of like using the mobile as a way to kind of see what their patterns are. That's a lot of data you're pulling in. I can't imagine. How are you kind of consolidating it and making it actionable? With SEO, for instance, what would be your day-to-day thought process?
Yeah, good question. So, you know, it's actually fairly easy to leverage data within SEO for betterment of your program. I would say the first thing that we would do is keyword research, right? Like go in and understand the trends within Google. What are customers looking for? And it's important to do that from a Google perspective and not just your own website, because you tend to get a wider data set when you look at what customers are searching on, you know, a large search engine such as Google. And then the second, you know, thing that we do would be to look at how does our own site rank for each of those keywords? Where can we improve our ranking? Where is there opportunity from a search volume perspective that we can build out the right content on our site to answer the questions that customers are asking us? And so we, you know, we're doing that on a daily and a weekly basis. And customer preferences and trends change on a regular basis. So, mm-hmm. you know, even if we've established a really strong ranking position in one area of a site, that could change because a customer trend could change, or they're looking for suddenly a different product type.
Okay. And then maybe, do you want to talk about social media display, advertising, things like that too? Because I think that's where, at least as a consumer thinking about it, that's where a lot of brands may get to that spammy area or that creepy, I don't know a right word, but overly saturate the consumer with ads.
Yeah. So
any tips on how you guys are running the show over there?
Yeah, so, you know, there's two aspects, I think, of social media in general. There's the, you know, demand layer that you can target customers much more scalably because you're understanding their behavior patterns on your own website or around the internet, understanding what they're engaging with and, you know, where they're spending time. And so it's a lot easier to target customers in a one-to-one relationship in things like Facebook retargeting or Pinterest search campaigns. But I think, you know, when it comes to upper funnel tactics on social media, what's important is that you're leveraging outside customer insights to understand what customers are talking about. And you can get some of that from the platforms themselves in terms of, you know, conversation and sentiment analysis and things like that. But then also really understanding at a macro level, what do customers care about? How do you use some of those other insights from areas like Google or customer data that you can understand what's going to resonate with customers and develop a relationship with them through social media, through higher level branding efforts.
Okay, I like that. So are you doing things like lookalike audiences based on what you know about customers?
Absolutely. Yep.
Okay.
We do lookalike audiences and predictive targeting based off of past experience so that we can leverage the data that we have available to us at scale.
Hey, Moment Maker, let's get real in real time.
Yes, it's that time again. It's time to get real in real time. Are you excited, Tina?
So excited, Megan.
This is a segment where our guests get real and talk about a particular challenge that they've faced in a marketing role, whether it's a multi-year digital transformation, maybe joining a new company, or even maybe a management change, which we never go through, right, Tina? We never go through those. She's going through one as we speak. But for Elise, she talked about recruiting and the importance of hiring the right talent to get the job done. So with that, let's get real.
Recruiting can sometimes be hard, especially if you don't live in a major tech hub or an area where there's a lot of marketing talent. And so, you know, we've leveraged a couple of different ways to recruit individuals from, you know, different areas around the country. And I think that one of the ways that we've been successful is just looking for complementary skill sets and looking for people that have been a mix of, you know, both agency personnel, but then also individuals that have worked at brands and people that really approach problems from different angles in order to make sure that we're building out a robust team that works really well together, but also, you know, challenges each other.
I love it. And you had mentioned earlier about partners. Do you have any advice for those who are kind of building out a team for kind of how to balance that partner agency and then your individual team?
Yeah, you know, I think that that's one of the ways that you can achieve scale with a small team is by leveraging the partners that you work with, especially those that are, you know, really experts in this space. So, you know, we work really closely with Salesforce. We work really closely with our partners at, you know, our media agency, as well as, you know, different vendor partners like Pinterest and Twitter and Facebook. And, you know, I think by leveraging the expertise of all of those different vendor partners, it makes your own program and your own team stronger over any given time period. And that's been really a great people to learn from in the industry in my career.
What an incredible interview, Megan. Who knew that there was so much power behind all of these moments that we experience every single day, even with things like purchasing a new patio set?
I mean, that's so true. I actually just bought a new patio set from Lowe's. So it really hit home when she said that. I was like, oh my gosh, what's happening? Where am I at in this journey? But really, those moments are everywhere and we may not realize it as a consumer. And I also love her creativity of how she just squeezes everything out of every ounce of data that she has at her fingertips to really understand who her audience is. She talked about trends. We just love it. So as we mentioned earlier, though, with all of this data comes, again, that great responsibility And who is more responsible than data security experts? So our next guests on the show live and breathe security and trust here at Salesforce every single day. We have Saikat Saha, Director of Product Management, and Lead Architect Miku Consolis, both with a vast amount of security expertise. And the burning question that we wanted to answer is, with marketers now using so much data to make these real-time moments for customers, how has this changed their role when it comes to data security?
So we really live in a data-driven age. You know, any kind of targeted marketing activities, building your audiences, segmentation, or even understanding the effectiveness of any marketing activity as part of the broad marketing strategy. So marketer role is really critical, you know, starting from managing consent to safeguarding their data. You can think of security as a role for, say, IT security folks, but not anymore. Marketers need to protect their brand, protect customers' data. This is really critical. Another dimension is that we live in a mega breach kind of age where high-profile data breaches involving millions of, you know, users and customers' data is very common. So any kind of data breach impacts the brand reputation directly, which a marketer has built over a long period of time over a heavy investment. So it is the best interest of marketers to also be familiar with security and work in a partnership with the IT security folks to take care of their data and ensure that data is safe and brand reputation is intact.
Now, Miku, do you have anything to add there?
I think I would just add that it's really important regardless of what part of an organization you're supporting. But when you think about it in the context of marketing specifically and the type of data that's required to provide all of this, you know, hyper-personalized communication, we're talking really a goldmine of an asset.
That's interesting.
Yeah, Miku actually brings up a great point about personalization. And as part of that personalization, you need to have information such as first name, last name, email address for email type of campaign, mobile numbers for SMS type of campaigns. And at the same time, you may need the home address for segmentation purposes. So when you are doing those kind of personalized campaigns, you are indeed dealing with a lot of information in a marketing platform. So hence, it is really critical to think holistically about your security posture.
Yeah, and I think that's a great thing to add is here are all these common threats, but how do you actually go in and mitigate the situation? And for companies that may not have a strategy in place, what are some more strategies that they can take for security risks?
Security needs to be thought through from the beginning of the implementation. And oftentimes what I find in the industry is security is being bolted on as an afterthought after the implementation is done. A true security should be built using something called defense in depth strategy. And this is really crucial for any kind of comprehensive security control in an infrastructure, you know, that's provided by a cloud service provider. Basically, the concept of defense in depth means if one layer fails, then the another layer of security controls kick in. And if you break that, then next layer of controls kick in. So basically, you are building barriers for an attacker to get into the core, which is the data, the sensitive data that a marketer would store in your platform.
Now, that's an interesting way to put it, the defense in depth strategy. And, you know, for many companies, they probably have an entire security team dedicated to protecting data. But where a marketer needs to be mindful is just knowing that they hold access to this very important information and understand that these barriers are in place for a reason. So without these barriers, a brand could very easily lose their reputation that, of course, marketers spend so much time building. And I think a lot of it may come down to maybe educating yourself on what regulations are out there and what you can and cannot do with the data you have. So with that, do you have any tips for marketers that need to adhere to these regulations?
So I think there are multiple dimensions to this question. The first, you need to understand what are the things that you have to adhere to. Are you part of a specific regulated industry? You know, do you have to comply with SOX? Do you have to comply with HIPAA high tech or maybe GDPR or CCPA? And if we look at these regulations, they actually have called out some specific things. For example, both GDPR and CCPA, the common thread between the two is the expansion of individual privacy rights. And as a marketer, I think the first thing that you need to adhere to is curate your subscriber list. If I open up an email done by, say, my most favorite brand and the name is different, or if I receive something that I never go to, so you don't want these kind of things to happen as a marketer. So how do you curate your subscriber list? How do you make sure that the personal information for your campaign is accurate? Reflected. So you have to first start from there. And then the physical and the administrative controls are typically handled by the cloud service provider. So as a marketer, you can focus on your own core business of running marketing activity and delegate those physical and administrative controls to a marketing platform that has adequate controls. So these are some of the things that are under control of a marketer. And we need to think like from a complete picture, how you would protect your data, the threat vectors are constantly evolving. So you implement something and you revisit your implementation every now and often, depending on your security practices.
I think as marketers, trying to be more clever and not so creepy. And I think a lot of that has to do with security and the data behind it there to have that highly personalized marketing, but also keeping your data secure. So you alluded to a few, but any other thoughts on some ways that marketers could really safeguard that data without sacrificing the creativity and the great marketing that I think we all want to do?
So offering the right content when and what on what channel, kind of the expectation of consumers in today's very connected world. And the forefront of that is obviously data and tangentially data hygiene. I'll never forget during an industries panel, one of the marketers made a really interesting comment that being personalized doesn't mean you have to throw people's data right back in their face. And he said that, you know, the behavior they're trying to drive didn't mean you have to take personalization to an extreme to also have great marketing. And that really stuck with me as somebody who spent several years either directly in or just on the edge of marketing security, because yes, storing data within the four walls of the provider, whether it's using it for segmentation or analysis of event behavior in a secure manner, is important. But an over-personalized, you know, Megan, like you're saying, creepy email that has too much information once it's left those four walls and is in that recipient's inbox also widens the risk of inappropriate exposure. So I think being thoughtful in how you treat data, but also how much of it you use kind of explicitly and overtly is a really interesting, I think, maybe art instead of science.
Thank you so much to our guests for joining us on the second episode of our new Moment Maker series, where we're unpacking common burning questions as marketers strive to create moments that matter with relevant customer experiences.
But don't you worry, the fun does not stop here. We have quite a few more burning questions that we still need to answer. In our next episode, we'll focus on how to actually activate the data that we have. And to do that, we have Vikalp Tandon, Global President at Dentsu Commerce. And we also have Rahul Kak, who leads behavior change marketing at CVS Health, and Shane Smith, Artificial Intelligence Practice Lead at Horizontal Integration. Great group here with unique perspectives on ways that we can, again, activate that data that we have at our fingertips.
Ooh, that sounds very exciting. Looking forward to that next episode. And if you're looking to learn more about data, make sure you check out a few resources in our description that are linked. One of the resources is a book that's written by our good friend and colleague Chris O'Hara that's called Data Driven. So make sure you learn more and check it out at datadrivenmarketingbook.com.
And if you like what you hear, let us know. Rate and review the podcast and subscribe to get every new episode the moment it's released. Find this episode and more at marketingcloudcast.com.
For our listeners who have tuned in via iTunes or SoundCloud, we now are live on Spotify.
We sure are. So check it out on Spotify, and we'll talk to you soon. Bye.
Bye, guys.
This episode was edited by Think Ahead Studios and music from audible.com. That fancy new jingle is from the one and only Press Maxon.